Hello, it's episode 7. Can you believe it?
We've made it this far.
I'm Ben Maudsley, and I'm here with, you guessed it, it's David Wetnall.
No, it isn't.
They're getting worried now, the listeners. It is you, isn't it?
It is definitely me, I can confirm.
You're looking good today, looking sharp.
Thanks.
You had a haircut.
I have. I went to a new barber's.
Oh, okay.
It's always a bit nerve-wracking when you go to a new barber, isn't it?
Like, I don't go anymore, I just cut
you
my
cut
own.
Your own, yeah, because you're a tight ass. Yes. But I went to a new barber's because the one I normally go to was shut.
Yes.
And I'd made the decision I wanted to get my hair cut. Yeah. So when the barber's was shut, I thought, well, I'm definitely going to get my hair cut. Okay. So I went to another one. And these two fellas, I think they were Turkish, I'm not sure. But it was just a dead weird haircut. Like, very strange. I mean, it looks all right, but what happened was, like, I sat down in the chair. And one guy said to me, like, there was two fellas, and one said to me, what do you want? So I told him.
Yeah.
And then he didn't start cutting my hair. The other barber, started doing my hair. And there was another fella getting his hair cut in the seat next to me.
Yeah.
So one barber was working on his hair with the scissors, and the barber was working on my hair with the clippers.
Yeah.
Right. So he did all the bits around the back and side with the clippers. And then the barbers swapped.
Bloody hell.
And the guy with the scissors came over and he finished off the top bit.
That's amazing.
And the guy next to me, he had all the top bit done, but the sides and back were still really long, so the guy with the clippers went over and trimmed them down.
Was it like a wheelie seat and just slide you across?
Yeah, he just slid me across the next one.
I don't want your haircut, sir. Can you slide me between two hairdressers and yeah, cut different sides?
That wasn't the end of the weird experience of the hairdressers. Like, what happened after that? So you know how when you have your hair cut, they show you the back with a mirror.
Mm.
So you look in the mirror in front and you can see in the mirror in the back what the back of your head looks like. Well, he got at the end, he got the mirror, but he held the little mirror in front of my face. And I went, well, I can see that bit. I've been looking at that bit the whole time. And then he put it behind me and you can see that bit. And on the board in there, they had a whole list of the prices.
Yeah.
And it had like regular haircut. £6 and stylish haircut £7. So I was thinking, I wonder how much he's going to charge me here. This is like a comment on what he thinks of my haircut, yeah. But anyway, he only charged me £6, so
didn't think it was that stylish.
Maybe
it was your whole ghetto.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he thought this guy, he's got no style.
I think we've digressed too far here. It's not the haircut podcast. But anyway.
That was... You asked about my haircut, so...
Well, it's looking good.
It was an interesting story.
Yes. Should we get into the snooker?
Yes, please.
So, recently, it's been the Paul Hunter Classic.
Oh, yes.
Which I've been watching. And hardly any top 16 players decided to enter.
Mm.
And I thought, maybe it's right for the picking, for, like, picking out an informed player to get to the final each way.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect Tom Ford to get to the final.
Well, you see, he stopped going on them nights out as the farmhand.
Tom Ford once described him, what was he
as
him
a farmhand on a night out.
Yeah, that's amazing. If you don't know what he looks like, get on Yahoo and check
Yahoo.
It out.
Yahoo? Get on Lycos.
Yeah, get on whatever you use and do an image search.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves what he looks like. What search engine did you used to use?
I used to use Ask Jeeves.
Did you?
I used to use Lycos as well.
I used Hotbot.
Ooh, a hot bot. What's that?
It wasn't anything untoward.
Makes me think of a stew.
Hot bot.
What's for tea? Hot bot. You got the information superhighway.
Yeah, but Tom Ford got all the way to the finals, beaten by Selby. But I just didn't predict that at all.
Yeah. It's ranking event, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he'll get presumably that'll do him.
It's quite a minor one, so that's why a lot of players didn't enter it.
Yeah.
But there was loads of amateurs in the first couple of rounds, actually. Actually, there was some quite funny names, because loads of, like, German amateurs.
Yeah.
There was the lady player of
Rayad
Evans.
Oh, yeah.
She was playing a chap called Matthias Porn.
Matthias Porn!
The porno. So I found them in a bush.
The porn master.
Yeah. That amused me. There was some other funny names. When we were kids, there was always pornos in bushes?
Because people didn't have hard drives, did they?
I mean,
it's like you couldn't hide
it. Just had a big bush.
Yeah, you
upgrade your bush to a bigger one.
Yeah, and stash your porno in a bush.
Mm-hmm.
It was an early form of file sharing, wasn't it? Just leave it in a bush here till someone else finds it.
Yeah, Bushes and pornos. Yeah. That's what I found.
There was a lot more bushes and pornos in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Remember saying this to one of our other friends, Dave Mart, and he said the equivalent nowadays would be finding a Brazzers pass within a bush. Going out with it. Anyway, there were some other funny names, though, about. Yeah. There was a guy called Prasit Buttercam.
Oh, sounds like a flaccid buttock ham.
Depends on what he looked like. There was another guy called Dragos Bogdan Drogen.
Is he Romanian?
I don't know. I imagine he's like a Norwegian strongman.
Dragos. He sounds like a character from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I imagine when he ripped a Yellow Pages knob.
And threw an oven over a bale of hay.
Yeah, that's quite a funny name. Do you remember I had a book of unfortunate names from like old census records?
Yeah, what was it called?
It was called like Busty Slag and Knobhead.
Oh, that's it,
and
yeah.
They were like dating from like the 1800s, so yeah. Obviously at the time they weren't, had any connotations.
There's some good ones in there.
There was a guy from like Louisiana from the 1800s called Dick Cream.
Dick Cream. There was a woman from London called Constance Smell.
There was another guy called Ransom Cunt.
Ransom Cunt. Oh.
You can't imagine a time when a name like that wasn't, you know, hilarious.
Yeah.
Ransom Cunt.
Ransom.
He was a kidnapper. There was a woman called Vagina Glasscock.
Saw her coming.
And a woman called Pincus Gash.
Oh, Pincus Gash. Yeah. That sounds like a Roman centurion.
Pincus Gash.
I am Pincus Gash.
Pincus Gash of all.
Anyway.
Back to the tournament, I think.
Back to the tournament. Yeah, Paul Hunter.
Paul Hunter, classic. Tepchaya. I can't say it.
Tepchaya.
Tepchaya was on fire again. He got himself to the semi-finals.
Tepchaya is on fire.
He got himself to the semis, but more importantly, he made a maximum.
Yeah, I saw that. He was well jazzed.
Those demons have been banished.
Well, it's funny actually because when he missed one previously, I think he was in the World Championship, he missed one and he didn't know that he would have won money.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they told him in the interview, he was really gutted. But then when he got the 147 this time, I'm sure he didn't know that he was going to win money.
Okay.
And when they told him in the interview, they were like, it's 40 grand. And he was like, he was made up because he didn't know. Well, he knew he would have won something, but he didn't know it was going to be 40 grand.
It's amazing.
But, yeah.
Who else was playing well? Jimmy White? My God, he had a brilliant run all the way to the quarterfinals. And he's not, you know, he's not got to a quarterfinal for 10 years.
I think it's since he's been using that cream.
That cream?
He can sit a lot more comfortably in his chair.
Get somebody ultra clear chill. Right,
yes. He got knocked out by the spaceman, Dominic Dale.
Yeah.
But, God, that's a long slog, isn't it? 10 years between getting anywhere close to a final.
Yeah. I mean, how old's Jimmy now?
50-something, I don't know. But yeah. He's lost a lot of weight and he's putting in on practice.
Yeah, good luck to him. Like, I'd love it if he could get... if he could get to a final or even win something, I think it'd be amazing.
It'd be great to watch. Like.
Yeah, it'd be incredible.
I'm sure Ian at the White Room podcast would be at.
Lose his shit.
He would. But yeah, I mean, again, it's a bit of a bitty tournament. I didn't really follow it that closely. And then this week's been...
it's been the sixth red world championship, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm just not really interested in it. I mean...
Yeah, I've never watched the sixth red format. I imagine it could be quite... Exciting, because obviously the frames are a lot shorter.
I want longer matches. I want more balls.
Yeah, more balls. What was that thing that they had? Who was it? Was it Joe Davis?
He invented
a game called Snooker Plus, and it had an orange ball and a purple ball. It had an orange ball between the pink and blue, and a purple ball between blue and brown.
Weird.
And they were worth like 8 and 9 points.
Just leave it alone.
Leave it be.
Bloody hell. I think that's what we got to say on the six reds. Dean won it.
Yeah. Who did he beat in the final? Bingham.
Bingham, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't...
Is that... That's not ranking, though,
no,
is it?
No.
Yeah.
They just go for a bit of a jolly, I think. Because...
It's Thailand, isn't it?
Yeah, Dominic Dale was interviewed, because he did quite well, and he said a lot of lads just come here and just go out and get wrecked.
Yeah.
So, like, this... You know, if you want
to make... I suppose, though, like, it's not a ranking event. You go there, have a bit of a laugh, turn up, play your games, and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to let off a bit of steam, sometimes.
Mm.
Fair play.
I don't know if you remember a few podcasts ago, I mentioned there was a Hypnosis CD that Paul McKenna put out in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's a very 90s show this week, isn't it? It's quite a lot of them.
To be honest, everything we ever do is based in the 90s or the 80s.
Yeah.
I think that's your fault. Yeah. I'm quite forward-looking. You're very, very backwards.
Anyway, so there was this CD Paul McKenna put out. It's called Sensational Snooker, and there was one copy on eBay, and it was like 25 quid. And I thought, I can't afford that.
Can't justify 25
but
quid.
But I managed to find a copy for like $9.99 on Amazon.
Bargain.
And I thought, I bought it, and I listened to it last week, and it's quite amusing. Have a little listen. This is the rather upbeat intro.
Hello, this is Paul McKenna, and I want to welcome you to Sensational Snooker. You've just taken a great step towards transforming your game. This hypnotic compact disc is the ultimate performance booster for snooker. Whether you've just started playing or you're a full-time professional, you can use this CD to lift your game to an all-time high.
So yeah, that's the sort of, that's the intro.
The very start of the intro where it was like a little fanfare bit.
Do, 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 do.
That sounds like a Mario Kart game or something like that. And then it goes into like the bed that he's talking over. And that sounds exactly like the music they used to use on those chat back adverts.
Chat back.
In the 90s, again, where it'd be like loads of people and like flashing images. you'd have to call a number, premium rate number, so you could chat to people. And in fact, the way he was talking sounded like one of those adverts. I think if you didn't understand any English and you listen to that if you put it over the top of the imagery, it could work as an advert like that.
Okay, are you ready for the a little taster of what this hypnosis session is like?
Yeah, I mean, is there any danger that I will be hypnotised?
No, it's only a short clip, dear.
Okay.
Don't worry, like a panicky housewife.
Oh, could I get hypnotised?
So this is Paul, and he's sort of telling you how you would visualise the pot, so how you would see the red ball, and imagine the sort of going through with the pot. Here we go.
Your body, sparkling, shining point of the most refreshing, revitalising colour. Visualise it glowing with energy. When you see it, turn up the brightness. Make it the most vivid, brilliant, powerful light you can imagine. And then make it expand. Feel it radiate out into every cell of your body. Watch it shining and spreading throughout every cell of your body, refreshing and invigorating you, spreading a glow of total bliss.
That's it, yeah. I think.
Does it just go on and on like that?
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes of that kind of nonsense. It's quite relaxing, but I don't know if it would make you into a great snooker player. But, you know, you never know.
You never
know. If anyone listening is thinking, oh, I'd like to get like maybe a one-to-one session with Paul to help my snooker.
Yeah.
Just have a listen to these two clips and then make your decision. Okay.
Are you suggesting that he's not particularly helpful as a hypnotist?
Well, this first clip, he's helping a woman. She's got body dysmorphia. So she sees her body in like a negative and distorted way.
Yeah.
And just listen to the techniques he uses to help her and then make your decision.
And Paul finally gets Naomi to look at her reflection.
That. Stop. What was the thought?
Tart.
Tart. Tart freak. Great. Okay, good. Not great that you're saying that, but great we got it a couple of bits. Excellent. You see, it's not that bad. I'm just going to make a note of this. I want to be absolutely precise about what it is that you're saying. All right, ready? I want you to give me some more, please, Naomi.
I'm a freak. I'm a total freak. I'm a bastard.
Bastard, yeah. Yep.
I'm a whore.
Whore? That's actually the first time I've had that one.
Is it?
It's good. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Let's go with some more. We're doing very well.
I'm ugly.
Ah, ugly. You see, we want to get it all down. This is a one-time clearance sale.
The whole of my body is just odd parts. It's like somebody's taken me to the garage and it's an old crappy car or something, but there's an old tatty bit over there that will do. I'm all odds and sods thrown together.
Yeah, you are good at this, I have to say. All right, so, by the way, do you know that's true, all of that?
Yes.
You know it's true, for a fact, do you? You know that you're a whore, a bastard, a total freak. You're ugly. You're made from odd body parts. You can't discuss your face. You're a freak and you have bad hair. You know for a fact that that's true, all of that, do you? Like God knows it.
That's what I feel.
I'm going to say these sentences one at a time, right? And I want you to repeat them in exactly the same tone, but inside your mind, with your internal dialogue, exactly the same style of voice, but as you look at yourself. Ready?
I am a tart. I am a total freak. I am a bastard. I am a whore. I am ugly. My whole body is made up of parts of odd and sods. I cannot disguise my face. I hate my hair.
Now, when you do it like that, what's the difference?
It makes me laugh.
It makes you laugh. Can you take it seriously?
Probably not.
Let's do it again. I want to keep doing it until we've spoiled the old pattern. Anything else you usually say to yourself?
You know, ugly. Just, I'm sorry.
It's like profanities, like
it
fucking.
It is. Lots
fucking
of lots.
Ugly whore.
Lots of profanities.
Yeah.
He repeats this process several times in an attempt to recode her in a voice.
That's that.
Naomi needs to see herself in a positive light, so Paul asks her who she admires.
That's it, yeah. Total fucking whore. She never even said that.
What about, have you tried total fucking whore? Maybe.
That's not helping, Paul.
I like the bit where she's listing the things. She goes, yeah, ugly. And he goes, ugly, okay. Bastard, yeah, bastard, right, yeah. Whore. Oh, whore. We haven't had that one. It's like he's really impressed.
Dearie me. So if that hasn't convinced you, I've got one other clip. This is this is Russell Brand asking Paul McKenna for a bit of help with a problem because he's fallen in love with his co-star. Okay.
You go ahead. You hired him. What do you do?
Look, I'm on this movie. If I fall in love with this woman, it's going to distract me. There's all these beautiful women everywhere. Adam Sandler finds it amusing when I'm chatting up the different girls. He lives vicariously through me. I cannot lose that relationship. Help me. He goes, all right. He goes, okay, right. First of all, I said all that down an answer phone because he didn't answer. I leave long, elaborate answer phone messages, as you might imagine. Then I got a call back from Paul McKenna, who's a British hypnotist, bespectacled man. He's kind of like this. And he called back and he said, what's the matter, Russell? Some bitch twisting your melon? Right? That's what he said. I goes, yes, that is what's happening. I need your help. Hypnotise me. And he goes, okay, so you need to imagine her in acts of sexual congress with increasingly unattractive men. How does that make you feel? I go, really hurt, because I think I love her. And he went, okay, let's try a new technique. Think of her now. Look up to the left, tap your wrist. Look up to the right, tap your wrist. All these neuro-linguistic programming techniques, right? And I tried them all. He goes, okay, think about her having sex with someone else now. How do you feel? I go, I still think I love her. And he goes, okay, imagine her head on a fat woman's body. That's where it got to.
What?
I quite like big women, so that didn't help either.
So did any of this work?
Well, no, actually, what I did instead is I had sex with her and a relationship with her, and eventually that does get it out of your system.
So I think we can safely say, avoid Paul at all costs.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like the kind of person you'd want if you're actually in some sort of emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
If you're feeling really bad about yourself, and he went, have you ever considered calling yourself a fucking ugly whore? Maybe that'll help.
Fucking ugly whore.
I'm a bastard.
I'm a
total freak. My body is made from old bits, from odds and sods.
Brilliant.
Why does he do it in the voice of that guy from Hello, Hello?
Good morning.
My body is made of old body parts. The fall of Madonna with the big boobies.
I saw it the other day and he'd got like a bunch of flowers with a note. And he goes, I found a bunch of daffodils in a knit. So the Shanghai Masters starts next week. I think it's kind of like the first proper tournament of the season, isn't it? So because like the top 16 are seeded into the first round,
right? Okay.
Which is always good. And there's a really strong field of qualifiers. You've got like Anthony McGill, Michael Holt, Wembo, Martin Gould, Michael White. So there's a lot of good players in there. Mm. But there's a wild card round, which I always think is a bit mean.
Yeah.
So the qualifiers have to play against a load of young Chinese players.
Ah, okay.
Chinese tournaments, they always insist.
As a way of getting their young players into the tournament.
But I mean, because they're so good, you usually see like a couple of pros getting knocked out.
Yeah.
And imagine doing that. You haven't even started the tournament yet. You've flown all the way to China.
And then you get knocked out.
It's absolutely soul-destroying.
Yeah.
Like, and it will happen, I imagine. It's happened before, like. But we'll see. Quite exciting, though. Ronnie O'Sullivan's entered.
Ooh.
I think the full top 16 are in there. So there could be some really good matchups, I reckon.
Mm.
But it will be a test for him, because he's not played competitively for ages.
Yeah.
Potentially he could run into Wenbo and Kyron Wilson for the first and second round if they both win their matches.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough start for him. But there we go. I always think it's difficult as well for betting as well when it's seeded. You can hardly see any gaps where players could get through. Right?
Yeah.
So, be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully it's going to be a good coverage on Eurosport.
On Eurosport, is it?
Should be, yeah.
What times will it be on? Because it'll be on sort of early.
Chinese tournaments, usually if you put it on in the morning, you usually catch sort of the last session.
Yeah.
The evening session is like, early morning.
Yeah.
So it won't be easy to keep track of all the games and stuff, but get a good sense of what's happening.
That's all you need.
That's all you need, mate. A proper tournament, proper players, proper matches. None of this six reds nonsense.
More reds. 20 reds.
Come on, Barry.
As many reds as you can.
32 reds. Yeah, I think whoever wins this tournament is going to be, you know, full of confidence for the next 2 months, whether it's just jam-packed full of tournaments. So. It's going to be exciting. October, November, there's just loads of tournaments. About 5 or 6 tournaments.
And then the UK Championship at the end of November.
Oh, that's good.
How exciting.
Said that in Dolby Stereo.
Yeah, at the end of November.
Hopefully we can get ourselves up there and do a little road trip. A bit of
reportage.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, that's the plan.
So we're looking forward to some decent tournaments in the next couple of months, because it's been a bit bitty, hasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like you've got a bit of snooker withdrawal, and that feeling was compounded when I came in today and saw this pile of shite that you've bought off eBay. Well, we've got some books here. We've got Dennis Taylor's Natural Break, which presumably is just like a book of anecdotes.
Yeah.
And it's illustrated with loads of little cartoons. Yeah, that looks shit. You've got this book called The Book of Snooker Disasters and Bizarre Records with an introduction by Steve Davis. Again, doesn't look to have any sort of merit at all.
I feel quite embarrassed because I'll get these books off Amazon for like 99p. Usually the postage is more than the actual book.
Yeah.
And then, I'll buy it on like Prime or whatever, and then I'll see these delivery people like racing around trying to get their orders out. And they come to my door and they scan it and they look at it and go, is it really worth it? We covered all this way, and I feel a bit bad. I feel a bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'm just like, thanks, and I've ordered like Ray Reardon's bedside snooker or something. Like, I just feel, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know, but you can't get them anywhere else. You can't get it from your local bookshop.
I know, but there's probably a reason for that, isn't there?
Well,
most of them are
shite. I've got so many.
What's that other one you got over there? The Book of Snooker and Billiards Quotations. Now, that's fine, but my issue is that's quite a big book. How many? I mean, there must be like 200 pages in that book.
So what, how many pages? It's not 157.
Like, how can there be that many interesting quotations about snooker?
I tell you what, though, there's a page on nicknames in here.
Oh, go on.
Some that we didn't mention. We had a little feature way back. So see if you can guess some of these. Young Banger.
Young Banger. No idea. When was it published? Sort of 90s, mid 90s, early
80s. So have a look. I think originally it was an 88.
Okay.
But I've got the 93 version.
You've got a later edition. 93.
Young Banger was Ray Reardon.
Ray Reardon was Young Banger.
Yeah.
Well, who was Old Banger?
I don't know. His ma.
Mrs. Reardon.
Potato Face. That was Joe Davis, apparently.
Old Potato Face.
The Wizard of Pot.
Pot.
That was Joe Davis.
Again?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was the...
Oh, yeah, Potato Face as well. Sorry. The Sultan, that's Joe Davis as well. Sultan of Snook. They are all Joe. Oh my god, they are all Joe Davis. This is really strange. So, Emperor of Pot, Wizard of Pot, King of the Cue, Mercurial Maestro of the Bays, the Sultan of Snooker, Potato Face.
They're all quite complimentary, apart from the last one.
Yeah.
Fucking Potato Face. Can you imagine Paul McKenna trying to talk to Joe Davis? Yeah.
So, Joe, when you look at yourself in the mirror, tell me what you see.
I see just my potato face.
Right, okay. Now, I want you to look at yourself and say it in this voice.
My whole body is made out of potato and chips, and my hair is made of mashed potato, and my ears are made of crisps. And some of my eyeballs are made of King Edward potatoes. And I don't like my skin. It is potato peel. And it is disgusting, soggy, dirty potatoes. And my testicles are made of new potatoes. And I've got curly fries for my hair. And my teeth are crinkle cut. My kneecaps are made of hash browns. My fingers are made of chipsticks.
Okay, it's time for our new feature, Snooker Twits.
The Twits of Snooker.
Yeah, things we've seen on Twitter, essentially. You've been looking at Willie Thorne.
Well, Willie Thorne is going to feature heavily in this feature. I think
if we're ever stuck for content, Willie Thorne's Twitter feed is just like
a gold mine.
It's like a gentle sort of drip feed of faux posts.
It is. Now, the first one, this is from a couple of weeks back. He posted a link to a picture of this woman, Daniela Reich.
She makes pictures of all the snooker players and sends them to him. They're quite decent.
Yeah, so she's like does sketches, like pencil sketches of portraits of snooker players, and there's one here of Nigel Mansell and stuff, and they're pretty good, they're pretty lifelike. But Willie Thorne's retweeted this picture, and what he's put is, this is verbatim, he's put, "This lady is a believable artiste." Now, I think what he meant to put is, an unbelievable artist. Or unbelievable artiste.
He put an E on the end.
Artiste. Yeah, he's put artiste.
That's a really good sort of backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
I believe you're an artist.
This lady.
Not unbelievable.
It's a believable artiste. Yes. The artiste bit's really funny as well.
Read your tweets back before you press send.
Don't just type it in. But to be fair to him, I may have found an explanation for why he's made these kind of mistakes. Because later on...
Mm.
I found this other one. He tweeted, "Well done, Hayden. Look forward to commentating on you sometime soon." So the Hayden must be a young player who's done well. But then the next tweet said, "Sorry, it's Caden. I've got big thumbs."
That's
so, why. So maybe that's the reason why his thumbs are so massive. I think him and Kurt Maflin should join a elephantitis of the thumb support group.
Yeah, yeah.
They can give each other a thumbs up every time they see it. Oh, absolutely massive thumb, to be fair.
Mark Williams posted a couple of things during the tournament in Thailand, the Six Reds. Read that.
I've read this one, actually. "Some barman came up to me in the bar in Pattaya and said, 'Can I have a picture, Stephen Lee?' Cheers, bud." No offence, Steve.
You would be quite offended, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
"Oh, it's Stephen Lee.
Oh, Stephen Lee."
Oh, Stephen Lee.
Yeah.
Also, I think he's been plagued with porn bots.
Porn bots?
Yeah, just read that last one.
Isn't that what he used to use as a search
engine? Hot bots.
Oh, yeah.
Hot
bots. "Will all these sex chat shit please stop..."
Welsh, please.
Oh, sorry. "Will all these sex chat shit please stop effing favouriting my tweets all the time? Do summit, Twitter. Getting boring now. Hashtag getting boring now."
Yeah. I don't think he realises that they're not real people.
These sex people.
Sex people.
They need to be banned from Twitter.
Oh, he enjoys a bit of...
We've got a few sex bots following our...
But
sex bots? It makes you think of those robots from Austin Powers. Got a couple of sex bots.
It's inevitable if you start a Twitter account, you get some porn bots.
But those porn bots, like, how do they... What's the scam?
Imagine they direct you to like live feeds where you have to put your credit card in.
Right, okay.
They get money off you.
Because I've never understood what the scam is. Like, it's not like a virus.
I think it's just trying to get you to sign.
They just have a link to something that would
you... I imagine. A friend
you seem to know
that.
A lot about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Well...
So on the last podcast, with the competition, we had no entries. I think it was a bit too difficult.
Yeah, it was. It was quite hard.
So the answers were, it was Stephen Hendry, and he was interviewing Mark Williams, and there was a little bit of Dave Gilbert on the end of it.
Mm.
But that little clip of Mark Williams and Stephen Hendry is quite interesting.
Before we go into that now, I'll just want to ask you a question. If you were a multi-millionaire sports personality,
yes,
how would you spend your Christmas and New Year?
I think I'd be living it up. I'd, you know, maybe take all my friends off on holiday and just have a blast.
Somewhere glamorous.
Yeah.
Sort of a luxury holiday location.
Yeah.
That's what you'd be up to.
Should we see what Mark Williams was up to?
Mark Williams did something very different.
Should you have a listen?
Yeah, go on.
This was the competition, but this is what he actually said.
So obviously after disappointment, losing in York in the first round, holiday over Christmas, New Year, what'd you get up to? Down the caravan?
Yeah, we went to the caravan. As you know, we bought a caravan in Home Farm. And we spend a lot of time down there now.
A bingo?
Bingo every night, 9:30. Live artists, then 10 o'clock. A few pints. Nice, lovely. We're down here over New Year and Christmas. Good fun. You should come down, Steve. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Knock on my door, a sponge.
I will do. I'll give you that.
So how's it going? Mark Williams, multi-millionaire.
Oh,
down the caravan.
Down the caravan.
Bingo every night, 9:30. And there's a believable artist at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, there's a funny bit on the end of that, actually. He obviously doesn't think much of Stephen Hendry.
So we used to play, obviously we were good mates, we used to play lots of matches. You're playing Matthew Stevens, obviously a good mate. So is it difficult or not?
Yeah, it is difficult because Matthew is, you know, he's a proper mate, really. And it's awkward playing him, but you just get on with it, you know. With you, I just like beating him.
It's a bit mean, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a proper mate.
Not like you, Stephen. But there, should we do this week's competition? See if you can guess who it is. Just one player.
Just one.
Are you ready?
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy. Here we go.
I remember winning my first frame, I think, to make it 1-0. I turned around and said, back then, I said, watch the league to work.
1-1-4-7.
Yeah, that's quite short. What did you think?
Frank Bruno, by the sounds of it.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Like, do you know when they distort people's views for, like, crime reconstruction?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's not their real voice.
Yeah. But yeah, if you think you know who it is, it's snookerpodcast@gmail.com, and there's a free t-shirt. A free t-shirt. The t-shirt's a prize.
But it is free.
Well, yeah, it is free.
It's free to enter the competition.
But yeah. But, you know, we will send it, so get your entries in.
Well, we've had winners in the past. A few t-shirts have been sent out.
Do you actually think you know who it is? Because you haven't heard that before.
No, I don't know who that is.
Genuinely don't know who it is? Okay. I thought that was quite an easy one.
I'll have a listen to it again later and see if I can get it.
But there we go.
Yeah. Excellent. Send us a postcard with your answer.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed the Olympics last month.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, snooker... World Snooker have been trying to get into the Olympics for ages.
Hmm.
Do you think it would be a good idea?
Yeah, I think it would be good in the Olympics.
Really?
I think the only problem would be getting enough nations to take part.
I think there is now.
There is, yeah.
It's slightly biased towards Britain, but...
But you can only... I mean, it would depend on how many entrants you can have per country. Because you couldn't, say, have, like, 20 competitors from GB. You'd have to have a limit on how you get out. How many
again? Can. That's a problem because it's GB.
Yeah, so it would be.
So it's even more biased towards.
Well, yeah, England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland would be quite good as well.
Mm.
Then Belgium would be decent. Germany, Holland. I mean, they would all be able to put
amateur players. Do you think that's the way it would work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they would probably, because with a lot of sports where there's professionals that you're not allowed to have. Well, there's regulations about how many professionals you can have. So you could make it completely amateur, and you could have only amateur players are allowed to enter. So that would mean anyone who was on the main tour couldn't enter it.
I think it'd be good as part of the decathlon. So they sort of run down the track, do some shooting, then they've got to knock in a 50 break. Until they've done that, they can't move on to the next one.
But I mean, that'd be interesting.
You can imagine a table in one of these big arenas in the middle.
Like in the gymnastics where they go round and like, and now on floor, and now on the snooker.
And now Stills on a knock in his first red.
The time starts when you first strike the cue ball. Put as many balls as you can. No, I think it will be genuinely good in the Olympics. I think there's a big audience for snooker. You know, this massive audience in the UK and in China and the Far East. So why not? I mean, table tennis is in. More people watch snooker worldwide.
Snooker
worldwide than
table tennis. Yeah.
Than table tennis.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because people still sort of look down on it as more of a game,
like a parlor game. Yeah. But again,
it takes more skill than a lot of those.
If
sports.
Things like air pistol shooting is in, and why not?
I
think there's definitely a case to be made.
There's definitely more skill in snooker than a lot of the sports in the Olympics, in my opinion.
And you know, it's a properly organised world sport with a lot of financial backing behind it. Why not?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Get in contact at snookerpodcast@gmail.com or Twitter @emperorofpot. Goodbye.